Please remain standing and turn with me to Philippians 4, verses 4 through 9. Philippians 4, it's actually verses 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You may be seated. Please join me in prayer. Father, tonight we thank you for your word. What a treasure it is. And as we look at the topic of thankfulness tonight, as we look at these words from Paul, we pray that your spirit would make them clear to us, that you would work in spite of my weaknesses in presenting them, and that you would keep us attentive and alert at this late hour of the night. We thank you for your word, and we praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I hope that in your traditions as a family for Thanksgiving that you do spend some time reflecting on all that God has done for you and your family as individuals and even as family members. And as the family of God, I really believe we have a lot that we can be thankful for. We barely scratched some of those things tonight in our songs and in our prayers. You know, the end of the year that will be quickly upon us and the beginning of the new year is often a great time for us to look back and reflect on all that God has done, and a great time for us to give thanks. You know, last year at this time, our family had only been in New Jersey for a few weeks, and we were still feeling like fish out of water, to use that phrase, still trying to understand and figure out this new place that we came to. And now 12 months later, as I reflect back on what God has done for us and the life of our congregation as well, I really do have a lot to give thanks for. We have been blessed abundantly. We have been shown great grace by our loving Lord. A lot of the history of the people of Israel in the past involved giving thanks. Feasts and festivals were given to commemorate what God had done in their past. The Feast of Passover recounted God's grace in saving his people of Israel out of slavery and the death angel passing over them right before the Exodus from Egypt. And the people would celebrate that yearly feast, and they would remember all that God had done. They would give thanks for his provision, give thanks for his protection and the salvation of his people. He redeemed them from slavery. The Feast of Tabernacles was to remind them of their wilderness wanderings in the desert and how God provided for them in the midst of the wilderness, and even how God then took them into the Promised Land. One of the great reflections in Scripture that points back and reminds us what God has done for his people is in Psalm 78. And I encourage you to read the entire psalm on your own. It's a lengthy psalm, but tonight I want to read just the first 8 verses of Psalm 78. It says, "Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from of old, things that we have heard and known that our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, but tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he has done. He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach to their children, that the next generation might know them. The children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. And that they should not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation whose heart was not steadfast, whose spirit was not faithful to God." We look and we celebrate the Lord's death until he comes each month as followers of Christ, as we partake in the Lord's Supper. A reminder of the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. A reminder of his broken body and his shed blood. His sacrifice for us. And we give thanks that God sent His one and only Son into the world. We as Christians have a lot to be thankful for. And we see the theme of remembrance being carried out in the New Testament as well. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 18, Paul writes, "Therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who are once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in His flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that He might create in Himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And He came and preached peace to you who are far off, and peace to those who are near. For through Him we both have access in one Spirit to the Father." So as we gather together tonight and we give thanks to God Almighty, I hope that there are thoughts in each one of us as we remember what God has done. I hope that we reflect on our own past and remember the things that God has done in each one of our lives. That we see clearly what God has saved us from. That we reflect and we rejoice in our salvation. That we reflect back on God's history of redemption from the very first pages of Scripture to the very end. And that we also reflect and we share with the next generation what God has done. That you and I would pass on our faith to those around us and pause and reflect on everything that God in His goodness has done. We can even pause and reflect on the pilgrims and the history of that first Thanksgiving in America. Modern man likes to redefine things. We talked a little bit about that on Sunday in Sunday school last week with modernism. Modernism takes terms, especially scriptural terms, and tries to redefine them. So we redefine who Jesus is, and we redefine the resurrection, and we redefine marriage to make it whatever we want it to be. And we even try, man tries to redefine his own reality as man rejects that creator-creature distinction. And man rejects all of God's authority. So modern man would even redefine history, whether it's the history of the pilgrims or history in other periods of time, and change the truth so that all the aspects of faith that we can learn on God has worked in His providential ways in history are kind of taken out of the history books. We probably all heard that first story of the first Thanksgiving in 1621, so I don't want to recount that story tonight, but I do want to share with you another story from William Bradford's Diary of Plymouth Plantation a couple of years later. They were very thankful when they celebrated that first Thanksgiving feast that has been commemorated, but many things happened over the next several years that caused hardship, and Bradford reflects in his diary in many of the different trials that they faced. And one of these trials that the pilgrims faced, and it shows how they thanked God in the midst of this trial, and they cried out to Him in the midst of a famine. And so I want to read just a couple of paragraphs from his diary where he talks about this famine and them crying out to God. He says, "I may not here omit now, notwithstanding all their great pains and industry, and the great hopes of a large crop. The Lord seemed to blast and take away the same and to threaten further and more sore famine unto them. By a great drought which continued from the third week in May till about the middle of July, without any rain and with great heat for the most part, insomuch as the corn began to wither away, though it was set with fish, the moisture whereof helped it much. Yet at length it began to languish sore, and some of the drier grounds were parched like withered hay, part whereof was never recovered. Upon which they set apart a solemn day of humiliation to seek the Lord by humble and fervent prayer in this great distress. And He was pleased to give them a gracious and speedy answer, both to their own and the Indians' admiration that lived amongst them. For all the morning and the greatest part of the day, it was clear weather and very hot, not a cloud or any sign of rain to be seen. Yet toward evening it began to be overcast, and shortly after to rain with such sweet and gentle showers as gave them cause of rejoicing and blessing God. It came without either wind or thunder or any violence, and by degrees in that abundance as the earth was thoroughly wet and soaked therewith, which so apparently revived and quickened the decaying corn and other fruits, as was wonderful to see, and made the Indians astonished to behold. And afterwards the Lord sent them such seasonable showers, with interchange of fair warm weather, as through His blessing caused a fruitful and liberal harvest, to their not small comfort and rejoicing. For which mercy and time convenient, they also set apart a day of thanksgiving. Facing a crisis of drought, losing the crops. They didn't have much to eat in those first few years anyway, but facing another drought, they set aside a day of humiliation, humbling themselves before God, praying and crying out to Him and thanking Him. And He sent the rains. And then they set aside another day of thanksgiving to God. And many times and places in Bradford's writing in his diary, I see a people who, although they faced all of these different trials of death, half their number died in the first winter, and famine and even trials perhaps of being caught and punished before they even left England as they went back and forth from Holland. I see a people who are able to, not perfectly, but fairly consistently, do what the Apostle Paul says in Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always, I will again say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Not sometimes, not many times, not when times are good and there's no famine, there's just plenty, but rejoice in the Lord always. That is not to be happy always, but no matter what we face and what we go through physically, spiritually, emotionally, we can rejoice in the Lord always. Always. Sounds easier in theory than it does in practice at times, doesn't it? Rejoicing in the Lord always is difficult for us to do. We don't rejoice like we should when things are going bad. When the bills are piling up, we don't usually rejoice in the Lord always. When disease strikes our bodies, we don't often rejoice in the Lord always. When work is difficult or even hard to find or come by, when terror threats abound, rejoice in the Lord always. Are we a thankful people? Do we, even in the midst of our darkest days, give thanks to God for all He is and all that He has done? We see in the book of Acts where the church is being persecuted for the name of Jesus Christ. And what do? They rejoice that they are considered worthy to suffer for the name of Jesus Christ. Thank You, Lord, that we were considered worthy to suffer for Your name. We see them praying and calling out to God in the midst of trials and hardships. What a blessing that we have faithful examples of believers that have gone on before us to give us some perspective in our lives. The next verse in Philippians, verse 5, Philippians 4:5 says, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. Other translations say, let your gentleness be known to everyone. This is the idea of a generous spirit, one who is not easily offended, someone who's reasonable. You probably all met a person who's unreasonable. You know what that means when a person's being very unreasonable. So let your reasonableness be known to everyone. If we take offense at everything, it really makes it hard for us to rejoice. The world today is very quick to be offended. The world today is offended easily. And sad to say, even we as Christians jump on that bandwagon far too often. We need to let our reasonableness be known to everyone. Rejoice in the Lord always. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. To these, Paul adds a third item in verse 6 when he says, do not be anxious about anything. doesn't get much easier in this passage of these admonitions from Paul. Again, much easier said than done. Don't be anxious. Do not be anxious about anything. Before we get to the aspect in this passage of prayers with thanksgiving, Paul states three things that we are to do. Rejoice in the Lord always. Let our reasonableness be known to everyone. Do not be anxious about anything. And Paul deliberately uses exclusive language here. Do not be anxious about anything. Rest in God. Rejoice always. Do not fear. If we are to do these things that Paul commands, then we need to have a proper view of who God is and His character. And that brings us back to that fourth question in our shorter catechism. What is God? God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in His being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. What do you believe about God? Is God all-knowing? Is He all-powerful? Is He sovereign? Is He over all things? Is He God Almighty? Does He bring up and tear down kingdoms? Does He not know, and has He not numbered every single one of the days of our lives before any one of them came to be? Is He not God? We've been studying the Ten Commandments in Sunday school recently, and what we believe about God matters. If we are to worry, if we are to be anxious and not rejoice in the Lord always, then we are in essence not believing that God is all He says He is. When I worry, then I do not trust God. When I am anxious, I am rejecting a peace that only He can bring to me. I'm taking upon myself fear and worry and concerns for things that I often have no control over in my life. Do not be anxious about anything. That's very hard to do. It's difficult for us. But it also denotes our ungratefulness to God. Instead of being thankful, we worry. Instead of being joyful in the Lord always, rejoicing in the Lord, we fret and we moan and we groan and we complain. When we consider that great gulf that has been spanned for us with the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that we who were once far off have been brought near, what do we have to worry or complain about? Rejoice in the Lord always. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. Do not be anxious about anything. And now we move to the aspect of prayer that Paul speaks of. The rest of verse 6, he says, "But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." In everything, by prayer. And here again, we have this all-inclusive language. In everything, pray. In everything, pray. Whatever we pray to God, whenever we take to Him, whatever we take to Him by prayer and supplication, we need to take all things to Him with thanksgiving. All of the requests that we make to God should be accompanied with thanksgiving. The hardships and the sufferings that we face in life are real, and we can cry out to God, but we ought to do so with thanksgiving. When we pray for our friend with cancer, we ought to pray with thanksgiving. Not that we are thankful for the cancer our friend is suffering, but because we have much to thank God for. And we can pray all prayers with thanksgiving. When we are praying for the salvation of another, we can pray with thanksgiving. When praying for issues at work, we can do so with thanksgiving. When praying about the unrest and the hostilities in our world today, we can pray with thanksgiving. When praying about financial issues and bills piling up, we can still pray with thanksgiving. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. I don't think we thank God all that much, or at least as much as we should. We often go to Him and we ask Him for things. And perhaps it's not always selfish. We don't just ask for things for ourselves, but we ask many things for others that we know and love. Let us not forget to be a thankful people in the midst of that. I like that we have a holiday in our country like this where we can pause and give thanks. But we ought not to only thank Him once a year. We don't need to store up all of our thanksgiving and let Him know that we are thankful for at the end of November. No, we ought to be a thankful people 365 days of the year in everything with thanksgiving. Our prayers ought to be filled with thanks. And I encourage you, over the next several weeks, as you pray, see how thankful you are. Pay attention to your prayers. How much are you thanking God when you pray? And then the end result we get in verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. What is the antidote to the lack of joy? What is the antidote to being unreasonable? What is the antidote to anxiety? Peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. You and I cannot manufacture peace for ourselves. Peace is not something that we are good at on our own. By our very sin nature, without Christ, we are at war with God, and He alone is our peace. He's the Prince of Peace. So when we pray all things with thanksgiving, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. A peace that the world will see if we are the ones who are resting in Christ instead of worrying every time we turn on the news, every time we open the mail, every time we drive around. The peace of God, a peace we can't explain. It's not natural. It's supernatural. A peace to guard your hearts. A peace to guard your minds. The things that you feel deeply about. The things that you think about day in and day out. That peace will guard your hearts and your minds. As we prepare to enter into this day of thanksgiving that commemorates a day that the pilgrims celebrated and gave thanks to God Almighty for all of His abundant provision for them, for His sustenance of them. Let us remember that they prayed in the midst of great trial and suffering with thanksgiving. They endured a lot, but they managed to continually seek the face of God. Let us also remember the Israelites of old who were given feasts and festivals to remember the great things that God had done in their past, so that they could give thanks to God for what He had done. And let us remember what Jesus Christ did for us in suffering and dying in our place. Oh, what undeserved favor. Oh, what love God has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God. Oh, what great grace we see as we pause to reflect on our salvation. Oh, let us rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say it, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Please join me in prayer. Father, I thank You for these words of Paul tonight that You had him pen to these believers in Philippi. These admonitions that ring true for us today, that we should rejoice in all things. That we should be reasonable, that we should not be anxious. Help us to take everything to You. That in all things that we pray for, in all things that we bring before You, that we would cast all of our fears and anxieties and our worries and our struggles and our pains to You with thanksgiving in the midst of the trial, in the midst of the hurts, in the midst of the suffering, in the good times and in the bad times, may we give thanks. For you, O God, deserve our thanks. You, O God, have given us far more than we deserve or could ever imagine in sending your Son to die in our place. So there's nothing that could happen in our lives that would cause us to be ungrateful or unthankful. Remind us of what we have to give thanks for. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.